John chapter 4, verse 4, we're continuing with our series called The Big Ten. It's amazing how fast time is going because this is week number 8, and we have shared 7 stories from the Old Testament, and today we're going to move to the New Testament. And one of the most difficult parts of this series, this summer-long series, and we've been focusing on reading the Word of God, having an overview of Scripture, is figuring out which stories to tell and which ones to leave out. So we had to leave out Jacob wrestling with the angel, Joseph in his coat of many colors. We didn't talk about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, Judges, the book of Judges with Samson and Gideon and Deborah, the kings of Israel, all of those guys, the miracles of Elijah and Elisha, Hosea and Gomer. I mean, there's so many stories we could tell. How many know reading the Bible is one of the most fascinating things you could do? But we're trying to keep it to 10 weeks, so we told the stories that we told in the Old Testament. We're going to move to the New Testament today. Now, next Sunday, number 9 is going to be the cross, and then the last one, number 10, is going to be Pentecost, okay? But today, I get to tell one story from the Gospels as part of this series, and so the story that I chose is the woman at the well. The woman at the well, and I believe as we go through this, you're going to see how important, how powerful, how great this story is, of how Jesus breaks down barriers, how Jesus reaches out to broken people, and listen closely, how Jesus uses the supernatural gifts of the Spirit to get people's attention, all right? Now, I'm going to show you the story via video, and this is from a DVD called The Gospel of John, and it is word for word from the Good News Translation. So you can follow along in your Bible if you have the Good News Translation. It's on your notes that were just passed out, but this is the story of the woman at the well. Watch this.
A Samaritan woman came to draw some water.
Give me a drink of water.
His disciples had gone into town to buy food.
You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?
Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use.
If you only knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. He would give you a life-giving water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?
Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life.
Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here to draw water.
Go and call your husband and come back.
I don't have a husband.
You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
You are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. And is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is.
I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he. I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the town.
come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?
So they left the town and went to Jesus.
You know, this is one of the most famous stories in the Gospels, is the story of the woman at the well. And thousands of messages, probably hundreds of thousands of sermons have been preached about this story, and I'm not going to attempt to preach all 1,000 of them today. That's nervous laughter, I hear, right? I want to draw out just 3 principles from this story that I think are very relevant to each of us here today. You can follow along in your notes, and here's the first principle I think we can draw out of this story, and that is this: God includes everyone in his circle of love. God includes everyone in his circle of love. Isn't it funny? Last week, we were talking about the story of Ruth in the Old Testament, a Moabitess, an outsider, a woman who was not looked upon with favor from Israel, and how God chose her to be the great-grandmother of King David. And so today, we have another story of an outsider as well, a Samaritan, a woman with a past, right? And so this is the story that Jesus, or this is the woman that Jesus reaches out to. So let's jump into the story and find out what this means. In John chapter 4, verse 9, she says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Now say that with me: Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So just in a couple sentences, this woman brings up and reminds Jesus, "Hey Jesus, you do know you're not supposed to be talking to me. We got some stuff between your people and my people. You're a man, I'm a woman," stuff like that. Now, Jews weren't supposed to speak to Samaritans. Men weren't permitted to address women without their husband present. And rabbis had no business speaking to shady ladies such as this one. Now, let's talk about this, because there was a lot of animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. A little bit of history lesson. After the people of God had been taken out of Israel, after Babylon had conquered Israel, the Assyrian kingdom sent people in to occupy Jerusalem, and over time they intermarried with the other Israelites that were still there while the other ones were in captivity. And so over time they became this mixed race of people that had grown in Israel. And so, as a matter of fact, the Samaritans had borrowed some of the religion of the Israelites and some of the pagans. So they had their own mixed brand of spirituality. They accepted the Ten Commandments in the Pentateuch, but nothing else in the Scripture. And so, and also, while the Jews were rebuilding the temple in the captivity, the Samaritans offered to help the Jews to rebuild the temple, and the Jews said, "No, thank you." And so the Samaritans went and built their own temple. And so to the Jewish people, they looked down on the Samaritans as religious and racial half-breed heretics. Now, it's hard for us to understand the animosity that existed between these two groups, but if you're thinking Arab and Israelis, you're getting the idea. These people did not like each other very much. Matter of fact, they hated each other so much. There was a popular Jewish saying during Jesus' time that said, "May I never set eyes on a Samaritan." Jesus made it clear, though, that by initiating this conversation, that even Samaritans are included in the kingdom of God. That's why he told the story, or the parable, of the Good Samaritan. This was a big deal. When the disciples came upon the conversation Jesus was having, also in John 4:27, they said they marveled that he was talking with a woman. You say, what's going on here? Well, the Jewish attitude in Jesus' day toward women was less than perfect. While the Old Testament gave great dignity to womanhood, especially in Proverbs 31, the Hebrews had over the years taken on some of the attitudes of pagan cultures around them. And so many a Jewish man — I'm not recommending this, guys, I'm just telling the story for historical context. Okay, so again, guys, I am not recommending this. Many a Jewish man started the day with this prayer to God: "God, thank you. I'm not a Gentile, I'm not a slave, and I'm not a woman." This was the attitude of the day. So a Hebrew man in this time period did not talk with women in the street, not even with his mother, his sister, his daughter, or his wife. Now listen, the Son of God, Jesus, in this story, breaks through all of these barriers, these racial barriers and these sexism barriers, and the one steeped in racial bigotry and the other a hurtful disposition toward women. He makes it clear that Samaritans are part of the kingdom of God, women are part of the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Jesus is the only major religious figure in history to elevate women in their place in society. I was reading this week in research that one statement went like this: Christianity is the best thing that ever happened to women. All the women said amen. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to them. Now listen, all you have to do is look around and see any other non-Christian culture in our world and see how women are treated. And see how they are enslaved and how they are owned as property. Come on, somebody. But in the kingdom of God, women are not second-class status. They are children of the Most High God. Somebody say amen. It's just a reminder that everyone is in God's circle of love. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So we could also say, no, it's not about Jews or Samaritans. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. So there's that Jewish prayer kind of outlined there by Paul. You see that? Thank God I'm not a Gentile. Thank God I'm not a slave. Thank God I'm not a woman. Paul said, bam, 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 you're wrong. Neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all what? Come on, say it with me. You're all what? One in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to his promise. This verse tells us that everybody is included in God's circle of love. There is nobody that is excluded from the kingdom of God because of your race, because of your gender, because of your background, because of your past, because of the color of your skin. Come on, somebody. God loves you. He loves us, and that's pretty awesome. Now, that means, listen closely, that there is no room for racism in the church. There is no room for racism in the kingdom of God. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, everyone is the same. Every color is the same. Every heart is the same. I'm preaching now because there is no room in the kingdom. If you follow Jesus, if you say, Jesus is my leader, Jesus is my master, then following him means that I have this same attitude. It's not about Jews or Greeks. It's not about Americans or non-Americans. It's not about white or black or Hispanic or anything else. We're all one in the kingdom of God. If you're glad to be part of a great big family of God, give Jesus a praise right now. I think that's awesome. There's no room for sexism in the kingdom of God. Looking down on anyone because they're a man or because they're a woman. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus, everyone in your life is inside your circle of love, or should be. I'm talking about the neighbor that you have that's from another country. And they have some odd cultural customs. And you're like, I wish I didn't have to put up with that. But God put them right there in your circle. So make sure you include them. I'm talking about the person sitting at the next desk at school who doesn't dress like you, who doesn't look like you, doesn't act like you, is not in your social group. They should be inside your circle of love. The coworker with the alternative lifestyle, inside your circle of love, according to Jesus, because his love is for everybody. The person who is married to your ex-husband, your ex-wife, or that person that has caused you such great pain in the past, what does the story of the woman at the well teach us? It teaches us that everyone is inside the circle of God's love. It doesn't mean that everyone is a child of God because you have to put faith in Jesus Christ to be part of the family of God, but it does mean that God doesn't exclude anybody from the family who wants to be part. Am I preaching to the right church here today? We live in a world, listen closely, that is trying so hard to divide everybody based on the color of your skin, based on our background, based on our socioeconomic status. Can I tell you where that comes from? It does not come from God. It comes from the very pits of hell. Because we see in the Word of God, especially through Jesus Christ, we are one in the Spirit. Somebody say amen. So let me give you a challenge here today. You need to look around your circle and ask, is there anybody not like me in it? Look around your circle of friends and family and all the people that you interact with. Is there anybody not like you in it? Because if everybody's like you, then perhaps you should widen your circle and do what Jesus did and include Samaritans, include the outcasts, include those with a past. Come on, somebody. That's what God is saying to us in these last days. So God includes everyone in a circle of love. Here's the second point I think we could pull out of this story, and that's that God uses broken people. God uses broken people. In John chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus points out to this woman, hey, you've had five husbands. Now think about this. This gives us a picture or some insight into this woman's past, because if she's had five husbands, that means either she's had five deaths of spouses or five divorces. Now, there are several people in this room. You know what it's like to lose a spouse, or you know what it's like to go through a divorce. And a lot of folks that say walking through a divorce is like a death. There's grieving, there's separation, there's pain. And so the Bible doesn't give a lot of details about her past or why these marriages didn't work out, but we know that she had gone through a lot of pain. This is a broken woman. This is a woman who has suffered a lot, and now Jesus points out, and you're also living with a man who's not your husband. How many know broken people make bad decisions? That's what broken people do. They make bad decisions. So here's this woman who has suffered mightily through her life. Heartbreak, heartache, failure, maybe probably definitely spiritual failure in her life. And so this was a woman who had suffered a great deal in her lifetime. And now the fact that she was alone at this well at this time of day says a lot about her. Now listen closely. She's there at the hottest part of the day. No one went to the well at this part of the day because it was so hot. And that just means, that paints a picture that this is a woman who probably went to the well this time of day by herself to avoid the wagging tongues of the other women who would point at her or call her out or whisper about her. We don't know that. But it's this woman, this broken woman that Jesus chooses to reach out to. And we say, why is that? Why did Jesus choose her? Remember, the story starts with Jesus said, I got to go through Samaria. I'm sure the disciples saying, Jesus, what in the world you got to go through Samaria for? We don't even like those people. How many know Jesus more than likely said, there's a woman there that I need to have a conversation with. By the way, the longest recorded one-on-one conversation that Jesus had with anybody in the scripture is with this woman. Jesus chooses her specifically to reach out to. Why? Can I tell you why? Because the scripture says, go to the next verse there in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to gather up all the perfect people in the world and we're going to sit in a circle and sing kumbaya until the end. He says, no, I came to reach out to the hurting. I came to include the broken. I came to reach out to those who are lost in the world. Is anybody hearing me today? That's the heart of God. God uses broken people. Jesus takes the time to get involved in this woman's life. And in just a few moments of conversation, changes her life entirely. And as a result of this woman's testimony, many people come to Jesus. How did that happen? Because God used the testimony of a broken person to draw men and women to Jesus Christ. I love it. Over the years, we have done an illustration in our church called Cardboard Testimonies. We've done them for illustrated sermons. We've done them for different things. We've done it many, many times. And the way it works here, if you haven't seen it, you know, we'll have 20, 30, 40 people come across the stage, and they'll hold a piece of cardboard, and on the front of the piece of cardboard is their past, a word or two or a phrase about their past. I was abandoned. I was abused. I had an abortion. I was broken. Story after story. And then they would turn it over, and they would, another word or phrase that would tell their testimony of what God has done. Again, can I tell you, every time we do this, there's incredible impact on people. Incredible impact in people's hearts. There's tears that are flowing. And every time we do this, I hear this from people. They said, I would have never guessed that this many people with this kind of past would go to this church. And I smile real big. And I say, don't you see the name of the church outside? Grace Assembly of God. You know, for far too long and far too often, we believe the lie of the devil. We come to church and we look around, everybody looks good. Look at Neil, he looks great, he looks perfect, he's awesome. Stepped out of GQ magazine, you know. Neil and Carol, it's awesome. You know, Dan Ayers sporting that shirt and them shorts and those alligators. Man, he just looks good. And you look at everybody and say, they're probably perfect. They're probably raised in church. You know, they probably never had any problems. You know, they're just kind of looking around, condemning me and you know, hating on me because, you know, I don't have that story. No. How many know everybody's got a story? Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got a testimony. That's why we need grace. So would you, if you're here today and you are believing a lie of the devil telling you that you can't be used by God because of this, you can't be used by God because of the color of your skin, or you can't be used by God because of your past or your relationships, the woman at the well tells us, Jesus tells us through this story, God uses broken people. And he restores, he heals, he delivers, he sets free, he takes broken things and he puts them back together, he takes broken hearts, he pours in the oil and the wine, God restores and heals. Amen. You know, it's amazing, if you've been in church for a long time, you kind of tend to take for granted that everybody knows that. Everybody assumes that. But can I tell you, every day, and I'm guaranteeing there are people either here today or watching online, the devil is using this line to beat you up. The devil is using this same kind of thinking to keep you paralyzed. Well, it's because, you know, I'm like that woman. I've been divorced many times. Well, guess what? Jesus reached out to this woman and used this woman's testimony to reach many people, probably thousands of people. So God can use you? Yes! Pastor, you don't know what I've done in my past. It's horrible. It's sinful. Guess what? God used a lot of people. All throughout this series, we've talked about some pretty human people that made some mistakes. But the grace of God is greater. Somebody say amen. God uses broken people. He did it then. He does it now. So you are a candidate for the grace of God if you are here today. I encourage you, after the service, we're going to have water baptism. After the service outside, if it's not raining, and rejoice with those who are getting baptized, those who are making public professions of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of them are kids who are making professions of faith in Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome, fantastic. But many of them are people with a story, like the woman at the well. It may not be her story, but it's a similar story of brokenness, of pain and hurt. That's why baptism is so exciting. That's why water baptism is so exciting, because when we go down in the water, symbolically we're saying, that old me is gone. And when I come up out of the water, that's a new me in Jesus Christ. Somebody give God praise if you're glad for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now let's pull out this third principle from this story, and there are many, but I love this. Write this down. God gives supernatural means to reach lost people. God gives supernatural means or tools to reach lost people. Back to the story, verse 16. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly. Now, how many know at this point, Jesus has this woman's attention? I mean, she's like, what? What are you talking about? In the course of this simple conversation about water, Jesus starts to tell this woman about the details of her own life. We call that reading her mail. Jesus begins to read her mail. And she's like, how did you know that in her spirit? Listen, Jesus says, go get your husband. Now, how did Jesus know she was married? Now, the skeptics could say, well, that's an easy one. A lot of people are married. Go get your husband. That's kind of an easy guess. All right. But then he says, for you have had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Now, how many know if the first one didn't get her attention, this one really has her attention now because Jesus had never met this woman before. So how in the world could Jesus know all of these details about this woman's life? It's simple. The Spirit of God told him. The Holy Spirit of God told him these details about this woman's life. And did you know that the same Spirit that told Jesus the details of this woman's life is still working today and still wants to use us today to reach out to lost people with supernatural means? Pay attention to this. It's going to get really good. Because what happened here in this story is that Jesus operated in a spiritual gift that we call a word of knowledge. So Jesus is operating in a spiritual gift. The Bible says he came out of the desert full of the Spirit. Jesus was baptized in the Spirit. If Jesus needs to be baptized in the Spirit, how many know we do too? Well, that was totally free. Okay? And so he is operating in this gift called a word of wisdom. Now, what is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is facts about someone given through supernatural means. Well, that means, or facts about something or someone or some situation that you didn't know before that is provided by supernatural means. Now, let's talk real quick about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It lists all of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Paul describes in the New Testament church that are readily available to those who are filled with the Spirit for the purpose of ministry. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of who? For the profit of all. So these gifts of the Spirit are not just for the church. They're for everybody, including people at the well. Modern day wells are probably coffee shops, by the way. I'm just saying. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, that's the one Jesus used there, through the same Spirit, to another faith, there's a gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Some folks operate in a supernatural gift of healing. Praise God for that. To another the working of miracles. Miracles is a gift of the Spirit. Keep going to the next part. To another prophecy. So prophecy is a spiritual gift, the word about encouragement or speaking about what's coming. To another, discerning of spirits, discerning between evil and good. To another, different kinds of tongues or message in tongues in the church, like in a public gathering. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So somebody gives a message in tongues in a public gathering, and then they interpret it in a public gathering. Okay, so those are supernatural gifts. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he will. So Paul says there are nine gifts of the Spirit that are available to us for the purpose of ministry to everybody. Now, I don't have, this sermon is not about spiritual gifts, but I'm trying to point out something to you that you can see that this is an opportunity that God gives to us to reach people as well. So Jesus gets this knowledge about this woman supernaturally, and it's a knowledge that he had not previously learned. And so Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, says to the woman, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. So let me ask you a question. Was Jesus condemning the woman by saying this to her? Was he using the gifts of the Spirit to condemn? Absolutely not. There is no room for the gifts of the Spirit to condemn or to put shame on other folks. Come on, somebody. That's not the way Jesus did this. Jesus was not saying, I'm pointing these things out to you to make you feel bad. Jesus is pointing these things out to you to remind you, I still know your name. I know every detail of your life. I am the God of heaven and the God of the universe, and I know you. I know what's in your heart. I know your past. I know your brokenness. I've seen your tears. I've cried those same tears with you. I've wept with you. Come on, somebody. That is the power and the anointing that comes with the gifts of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus did as he operated in this word of knowledge toward this lady. Now, those are the purposes of the gifts of the Spirit. And can I tell you that whenever I have been on the receiving end of gifts of the Spirit, specifically a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, can I tell you that many times the overwhelming sense that I get is that, I mean, the information is powerful, the things that people say is pretty awesome, but the overwhelming sense that, wow, God, you sent somebody to give me a message. You love me enough to put somebody in my path to remind me that you love me. Am I speaking to the right? That's how those gifts work, because the very next chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, I'm going to show you a greater way, a more excellent way, love. So how do we get those gifts of the Spirit, Pastor? It's easy. You ask. You just ask. Pastor, are you saying that I could operate in a gift of faith? Pastor, I could have a conversation with somebody like Jesus did with this woman and begin to speak to her about her. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what the scripture says. Eagerly desire the best gifts. All you got to do is ask. Ask to be filled with the Spirit, and then ask to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. How many would agree with me? It really is that simple. Oh, no, Pastor. You have to be super spiritual. Oh, you have to have gone to the church for 25 years. Or you have to... No. All you got to do is ask. Just ask. In a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask. And I double dog dare you. Ask. Fill me with your Spirit, God. And then use me with the gifts of the Spirit to reach other people. Now, say, Pastor, let's talk about what a word of knowledge might look like. You know, what does this look like? I don't even understand this. It's kind of getting kind of different here, okay? A word of knowledge might look like this. Let's say you're praying for somebody. You're interceding for a family member or a coworker. And as you're praying for them, thoughts or words or impressions begin to come upon your spirit about them, about, let's say, about their past or about their home or about something. A lot of times it's just a word or a phrase when I'm doing it. And I'll go up to somebody and say, hey, I was praying for you. And as I was praying for you, the Lord was speaking to me about this. Does that mean anything to you? Now, if they shake their head and start crying, that's a pretty good indication the Spirit of God's been speaking to you. Are you hearing me? And so a lot of times it works through prayer. You know, as God gives you a word of knowledge through prayer to pray for them. Not every word of knowledge that God gives to you has to be repeated to that person. Come on, somebody. All right? It could be in a time of prayer when you're praying for someone else. You're praying for them and say, hey, I hear God saying this to me. What does that mean to you? Are you hearing me? And amazing how what that does is that allows the Holy Spirit to work. It's a confirmation to the person that you are ministering to that God's alive, that God loves them, that God cares about them. He's getting their attention through supernatural means. Not this past Wednesday, but a week ago Wednesday, we were having a powerful time of prayer, and everybody was gathered here at the end of the service. And I felt like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that there were people in this room that had been crushed by circumstances and that they were experiencing brokenheartedness. And I can tell you by the response of several folks that it was clearly right on target with some things that were going on in some people's lives. But just in case we think we know it always has to be visible, I received this email a few days after. Let me read it to you. It said, at the beginning of last night's service, during the first worship song, I looked right at you and prayed to God. He was looking at me, prayed to God. I said to God, God, if this man's connection with you is real, then find a way for him to call me out at the end of the service. And you directly did that at the end of the service about my broken spirit. So does God still do this today? Absolutely. Matter of fact, let me challenge you real strong. Are you ready to be challenged real strong? What I sense God is telling me to tell the Church of Jesus Christ is that we will see more of the gifts of the Spirit and the miracles of God in operation in our culture, in our lives, in the near recent future than ever before. And let me put it to you another way. It will be necessary. Because of the way our culture is changing, the way our culture is going so hard against God, I believe God is going to begin to bestow the supernatural upon us again so that we might be His agents, His voice of truth. Come on, somebody. So I'm telling you that we should ramp up our hunger for the supernatural. We should desire it. We should ask for it because God will use it to get people's attention. Let me be very clear. There's a lot of folks that don't want you to reason with them from the Scriptures. They don't want an argument. They don't care about your answer. They don't care about your reason. But when God begins to read their mail, bam! What? How did you know that? Oh, the Spirit of God told me. And that's what I call the Saul of Tarsus effect. He kind of knocks them off their high horse. Or he reminds them and reaches out to their brokenness. Come on, somebody. Through the power of the Spirit. Jesus powerfully reaches out to this woman. And listen, as a result, people came to Jesus. Look at John chapter 4, verse 48. No, excuse me, John 4:39. We're going to skip a little bit there. John 4, there we go. I love it when these guys follow. It's awesome. Thank you for being on the spot. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. People got saved. People put their faith in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Okay, here was her testimony. He told me everything I ever did. That was their testimony. And because of his words, many more believed in him. Watch this. The miracle of this word of knowledge gets her attention and draws a crowd. And the Bible says, and because of his words, many more believed in him. Listen, this is the purpose of the miraculous. This is the purpose of the supernatural, to get people's attention so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that can save them. Listen closely. Miracles aren't going to save people. Supernatural signs aren't going to save people. Some people turn it into a dog and pony show. Listen, can I tell you very clearly? The purpose of the supernatural is to draw them to Jesus so they can hear the message of the cross of Jesus and become members of the family of God. That's what happened in this story. Through these supernatural occurrences, people get saved. People come to Jesus. Lives are changed. God wants to use us. I said, God wants to use you. Teenager, listen to me. There's not an age limit on the gifts of the Spirit. Young adult, man, I'm just kind of searching around for my purpose in life. I'm just trying to find my way. Can I tell you what your purpose is? Your purpose is to make Jesus famous. Whatever your vocation, whatever your career, whatever you do, make Jesus famous. Be a candidate to be used by God. And you know what he'll do? He'll do it. Little old me? Yeah, little old. I like referring to me as little old me. It makes me feel better. Little old you, little old me. By his Spirit, amen? If Jesus used supernatural means then, he's still using supernatural means now. Now let's bring the scarlet thread of redemption here, because the scarlet thread of redemption is the fact that Jesus and the cross is in all 66 books of the Bible. And of course, when you get into the Gospels, there it is, the cross. It's there. Next week, Pastor Tim is going to powerfully illustrate the story of the cross to everybody here today. And it's not even going to be Easter. It's the most important story in the Bible. It is the most important story in the Bible, the story of the cross. But I want you to notice that between the time Jesus has this conversation with this woman and the time that she goes away to give her testimony to everybody, and by the time she comes back, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples that says this. He says, you have a saying. Go ahead and show it on the screen. He says, do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So the context of this conversation is the harvest. Don't miss this, because we miss this so much. Why did Jesus reach out to her? Because she was lost. Why did Jesus operate in these supernatural gifts? Because she was lost. The disciples said, why are you reaching out to a Samaritan? And by the way, did you recognize she's a woman, Jesus? Jesus said, listen, it's not about your circle. It's about lost people. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many know that's the purpose of the cross? That's exactly why Jesus came. Jesus didn't just die for middle American white people. He died for broken women with a past. He died for Samaritans, mixed breeds, which most of us are these days, by the way. He died for Africans. He died for Asians. He died for Arabs. He died for you. That's the whole purpose of the cross. And listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, that is your reason for being. That's why you are still here. To become an agent of God and sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ. And he says, oh, by the way, I'll help you. I'll give you some gifts of the Spirit if you'll ask. Amen? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In this room today, I want you to listen closely to me, and I'm asking that nobody be moving, nobody exiting. We're going to pray. In this room here today, is there anyone that would raise a hand and say, you know what, Pastor? If I'm honest, there are people that are outside my circle of love. I don't think I hate them, but I certainly don't include them. And if there are certain, they look a certain way, they act a certain way, maybe they have a certain last name or somebody from your past, you know, I just avoid them. I don't reach out to them. And through this message today, God is speaking to me that I need to walk across the office. I need to walk across the classroom. I need to do what Jesus did and just start having a conversation with my neighbor, with my coworker, with my family member, with that person that's part of my past. If that's you today, raise your hand real high. Jesus is talking to me about that. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Jesus is talking to me about widening my circle of love. Thank you for those many hands that are raised. You're here today, this morning, and you say, you know what, Pastor, the story of the woman at the well, it kind of reminds me of me, because I have a past. I have a past. I've sinned, and there are lots of things in my life that I'm ashamed of, and I'm broken over. And if I'm honest, the devil uses those things to beat me up. The devil uses those things to keep me down. And today, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to set me free. I don't want to believe those lies anymore. I don't want to put up with that anymore. I want to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ through the power of the gospel. How many are here today? Raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer for that today. I'm asking God to deliver me and set me free from guilt, from shame, from condemnation. Raise your hand real high. Come on, raise your hand real high. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. All right. Last question. How many are here today and say, Pastor, I think God wants me to be used in the power of the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. And if you're here today, say, Pastor, I want God to use me the way Jesus reached out to this woman at the well. I want the gifts of the Spirit in my life. I want the power of the Spirit in my life more than I have right now. I want to begin to operate in these gifts of word of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of prophecy. You may not even understand everything it's all about, but listen, you trust the Holy Spirit of God who gives them to you. If that's you here today, raise your hand real high. I want more of God's Spirit in my life than I have right now. Everybody that raised your hands for any of those three things, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Come on, if you raised your hand for any of those three things, I want you to stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet right now. And would you make your way to this altar? Come on, would you respond to God's Spirit by making your way to this altar? Come on, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Come on, let's begin to cry out. Holy Spirit, set us free. Heal us. Deliver us. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to talk to Jesus. God, let your power, let your Spirit, let your glory fall upon us, we pray. Press in, press in, press in, press in. God, by your Spirit and your power. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, press in, press in. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Lord, widen my circle of love. God, forgive me for excluding people. Forgive me for harboring feelings of anger or resentment, God. Forgive me, Lord God. Let your Spirit enlarge my circle of love, God. Give me a love for people that I don't have myself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, deliver us. Deliver us, oh God, from our past. Deliver us from guilt. Deliver us from shame. Right now, we rebuke the devil. Right now, we rebuke the spirit of hell that continues to bring shame or remind us of our past. Now, God, we pray that your power would rest upon us. We pray, oh God, that you would make us free. Make us free. Make us free. Set us free by the power of your word today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let it be, oh God. According to your power, your strength, do a great work today. Do a great work today. Heal us, Lord. Restore us, we pray. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, oh God. If you say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Lift both hands to heaven and ask him right now. Come on, lift both hands to heaven and ask him, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the same Spirit. Fill me with the same Spirit that you put in Jesus for the purpose of reaching lost people. God, I pray you'd fill me with your power. Fill me with supernatural power. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in the power of God. Baptize me in your Spirit in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray you give me power and obedience to obey you. Lord God, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. God, bestow upon us words of knowledge and words of wisdom, gifts of prophecy, God, gifts of miracles right now in the name of Jesus so that we could go out in the marketplace, we could go out in the neighborhoods, oh God, and speak the very words of God. Lord, let gifts of power rest upon your church. Lord, discerning of spirits, messages in tongues, interpretations of tongues. God, begin to distribute them to your church right now. Come on, ask right now. Ask right now. Ask specifically right now for that gift of the Spirit. For that gift of the Spirit. For the purpose of reaching people. For the purpose of reaching out to the lost. For the purpose of connecting to those who are wounded. In the name of Jesus. Do a work in my heart, oh God. Do a work in my heart, oh God.
My shame is under.
Here's what I hear the Spirit of God saying to me. Every one of us have a person near us in some proximity of us who is our woman at the well. Every one of us has at least one person in our lives. They are a woman at the well. They could be a man, could be a woman, could be a teenager, could be a child. But they are, it's not the person that everybody loves. It's kind of the outcast. It's kind of the person that's broken. It's the person that's lost, away from God. And God puts you in their life so that they could have living water. God puts you in their life so that out of their belly, Jesus said to this woman, He said, you came for a drink of water, I'm going to give you living water and you won't ever be thirsty again. Pastor, how does that happen? You start a conversation. Hey, can I have a drink of water? You see how this worked? See how Jesus did? See how He did that? I want you to pray for that woman at the well in your life. The Holy Spirit's bringing a name or a face to you right now. I want you to begin to pray for them. And I want you to pray that God would give you supernatural means to reach out to them. Would you do it right now? Begin to pray for them. And I want you to begin to pray, Holy Spirit, begin to give me supernatural means to communicate your love to them, to communicate your grace to them. Holy Spirit, use me. Would you use me? Use my hands, use my words, use my conversation to reach out to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, give me courage like Jesus had courage to step outside of the normal and to include people who are not normally in my circle of love. God, I pray in Jesus' name for that lost person. I pray for them, God. I pray they'd come to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you'd use me to do it. I pray you'd use me to draw them. I pray you'd use me to open their hearts. I pray you'd use my words and my spirit, God. Use me in the gifts of the Spirit. God, give me words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Show me the insights of their heart. Show me what's going on in their spirit, man. God, not to create a show or somehow impress them, but God, to draw them to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now you know what to do next, right? Amen. Can you bring it down a little bit? You guys know what to do next, right? Now go do it. Right? Go to the well. Intentionally. Jesus didn't say, oh, by the way. No, He said, I got to go through Samaria. I got an appointment. Are you hearing me? Go to the job, go to the school, go and be ready. Be ready. Just start a conversation. And you're not going to force anything. Just listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He'll lead you and guide you. Say, Pastor, this is kind of scary. Actually, it's kind of exciting. It's kind of very exciting. How many know we live in a world that is sick of dead religion, right? They want to see something that's real, something that's alive. And we've got Him. Jesus. Amen. Lord, may you bless these men and women. God, may your hand be upon them. May your spirit guide them. May you use us, Lord, to reach out to the woman at the well. May we be a source of hope. May we be a source of truth and a source of life. God, in a world filled with condemnation and shame, may we be the spirit of love, the conduit of your grace flowing through us. May your hand be upon us, our homes, our families, our relationships. May you keep us true to your word and your heart. God, in the world that we live in, may you make us bold. May you make us bold by the power of your spirit. May your anointing increase in our lives. May the Spirit of God rest upon us, our sons and our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, for the purpose of serving you, for the purpose of reaching others. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You can continue to pray if you'd like to. We're going to continue to play and to worship. God bless you. God bless you.